As usual, I have just a couple of brief announcements, things that pop up after in my brain after Jason says, is there any other announcements? There's a couple of things that are happening this summer, in the near future, one's for our congregation, the other's for our community. In the community, there will be a gathering over at Stuart Hoffman's place, Pete's son. They're having a celebration of his birthday, as well as probably some cornhole tournament. And so that the proceeds to that will benefit Pete and Paula and their needs. So I just wanted to make people aware of that gathering that's coming up. That's July 15th. Sometime in August, a couple of weeks, we're going to get real busy here very soon. We will have our annual church picnic. And at the church picnic, we will have a celebration of baptism. And so I just want you to be praying about that, thinking about the ordinance of the church, and if the Lord in any way is impressing upon you to be obedient to the command to be baptized, we can talk about that, and we can enter into with you as you enter into the waters of baptism. So just a couple of things. Also, Beth and I are blessed today, incredibly blessed to have two of her childhood friends here. Julie and Kelly have come from Western New York just for a visit, and they have known Beth way longer than I've been married to her. So if you want any good stories, you can ask them to share with you what they might know about Miss Beth. Not quite yet. So, two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both, and be one traveler long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that the passing there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day. Yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this, with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost. We are beginning a series this morning in the Book of Psalms. So if you have a mind to, please turn to Psalm 1. This series will take 12 and a half years to complete. You laugh, but if I do a sermon once a month, which is the plan, it will be 12 and a half years until we get to Psalm 150. And so that is the plan, should the Lord tarry. And I will be 68 years old by that time. But we will, if you are keeping notes. The title of the book is Psalms, and the Hebrew word is the word for praises. And so that's what this is. The Book of Psalms is the ancient hymn book of the Israelite nation. And they are poems, but they are songs. Songs that lead to praise. It's a collection of really everything. It represents all of the dynamics, all of the ways in which God had interacted with his people. Psalm 90, fun fact, Psalm 90 is probably most likely the oldest psalm in the collections. It was probably written first, but as they gathered their hymn book in different ways and categorizing, and we'll see that over time. Psalm 1 isn't simply the oldest. They do constitute this hymn book. There are musical notes that are given in there. There it is, given in there. All right, the road not taken, good. Keep clicking. No, not that one. That's way too far ahead. There it is. Okay, we're good to go. Psalms is praises. You probably have a favorite or two that you, over the course of time, have kind of attached to. You know, think of it, you can think of that kind of as your Spotify playlist, if you're of that generation. Or maybe, you know, it's on your mixtape, if you're from that gen. And if we have to go back all the way, maybe it's the 45 that's like in the front of the rack. No? Yeah. You probably have a favorite or two of them. And they are praises. The Psalms are praises that are designed to engender the proper praise and worship of God. They are designed to engender in you and I the proper praise and worship of God. The reason why that distinction is made between praise and worship is because praise is how it is that God's people talk to each other about the goodness of God, how we talk to each other. Worship is how we talk to Him about who He is. And in the Psalms, we see those things in many diverse ways. And so they are designed to engender us, in us, the proper praise and worship. And so the road not taken. And I, for my part, took the road less traveled, and that has made all the difference. When Robert Frost wrote that poem, he wrote it as a joke. He had a colleague who was a very indecisive person about everything. This colleague couldn't make up his mind one way or the other. Am I going to have eggs for breakfast or should I have ham? He couldn't make up his mind. And so Robert Frost wrote this in jest for his colleague. But it took on a life of its own, meaning and intent, where he was jokingly ribbing his friend. You and I read it today with profound philosophical intent. And it's tremendous. So we start where the Lord starts in His Word with Psalm 1. Psalm 1. A need for instructions. Psalm 1 is a gateway to the entire collection. As such, it introduces us, it introduces the reader, the singer, the prayer, to a sustained contrast between only two ways of life. And in that, as we engage God's Word, what we will see is that God directs us to life. God directs us towards life. If you have your Bible still open, read along with me. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yield its fruits in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. God directs us to life. To life. And in so doing, as you and I see this sustained contrast in these few verses, the first thing that we encounter is this word blessed. And we are encouraged to believe the blessing. The word blessed often in Scripture means the favor of God upon someone's life. But that's not the word that's used here. The words that used here is how it is that someone who observes that kind of blessing in the life of someone declares that to be a good thing. And so what the psalmist is saying here, who most likely is David, we don't know for sure, but it's got a lot of his handiwork kind of all over it, is saying, oh, that person has a good life because the Lord has found favor in that person's life. That's the word blessed here, and that's how we enter into that man, that woman's life is good. Oh, blessed, how blessed it is the man who does not walk. And so it's not a contrast that is set up in such a way as dutiful obedience versus gleeful disobedience. That's not the contrast. The contrast is between blessedness and ruin of God's favor and doom. And there's really only two ways to be human. And this psalm sets that out in front of us. It says, that person has a good life who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. And you and I, as we see how it's set up in Scripture, how it's written for us, there's a progression that seems to be apparent in walking, which is movement, and then standing still, and then settling. There's a progress. There's a downward progress. And that's how it reads to us. And that's true to a certain degree. But to a larger degree, if we take a look at this as poetry, which it is, words don't come at us straight. They have richer, fuller kinds of pictures and meanings. And so we dig a little. We use our capacities that the Lord has given us to mull them over, to percolate. I mean, who likes coffee? Everybody like coffee? You know, and what kind is the best coffee? The kind that percolates, you know, French press or what, you know, it's not that kind of. My in-laws, they're both in heaven. They're enjoying the Lord's presence right now. But they used to drink instant coffee, which is truly horrible, but it'll do in a pinch. Right, we like percolate, and that's so. So I'm sorry if you. I apologize if I offended you. If you like instant coffee, you're a better human being than I am. Walking, standing, and sitting reflect upon the things that you and I. How it is that we think, making movements. How it is that we behave, and how it is that we come to belong. It's a process in our lives. Blessed is the man who does not think like the wicked, who does not behave as the sinner, and who does not belong with the scoffers. Those are more accurate kind of reflections of what's going on there. The wicked are those who say evil is good and good is evil. Sound familiar? Sinners are those who miss the mark of God's perfection, of His love, of His character, of who He is. Sound familiar? And scoffers are those who can only do one thing. They have become so jaded in their lives that they mock everything and do not have the ability to comprehend anything good. It's not that good is evil and evil is good. Everything is garbage. Everything is trashed. Everything is to be scoffed at. Blessed is the man who does not think and behave and belong to those groups. So we believe that the blessing is for the individual who lives that way. And what is the core of becoming that way? Well, there's a loop in the next verse. If you look at your scripture, you can see it. It's actually right there by design. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates. So there's a hinge on the word law there, the Torah, God's word. And what he delights in, he meditates on. And it's the law. And it's this never-ending loop and cycle. The more that we delight in something, the more we meditate on it. The more we meditate on it, the more it becomes a delight. And it's his law. It's his word. And the word, the word to meditate here in this picture, this word picture, we have this phrase, and I've heard this recently, that, you know, we're Bible-believing Christians. But are we Bible-reading Christians? And more than that, are we Bible-meditating Christians? You know, when we read the Word and it becomes part of our thinking and we meditate, we think about it softly in our minds, we drain it, we dig deep into what it's saying, how it impacts us, what it tells us about God. It's great to be Bible-believing. Amen. I'll even go as to say it's great to be Bible-reading, even better. Yeah, I believe the Bible. When was the last time you read it? Last Sunday at church? When was the last time you meditated on it? What? No, I don't mean to be so hard. But you see the picture, the progression there. So invest in that loop. Believe it, yes. Read it, yes. Meditate, percolate on it. Let's do one. Let's just do one. Okay. Parents, you can thank me later. In Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us directly that children are to obey their parents. Right? It says that. What does that mean? How does that percolate? When you were young and you were a child and you had parents that asked you to do something, did you do it? Did you play one more level? I'll do that later. Clean up, whatever. How did you respond to what your parents asked you to do? Did you obey? Did you do it with a willing heart? Was the Lord pleased that you were doing it the way you were doing it? And that's just half a verse. Meditate on that. Well, what if my parents told me to do something that violated the Word of God? Well, yeah, okay. It's got to be about what? Maybe 1/90th of 1% of the things that a godly Christian parent is going to ask you to do. I remember the day. Both my parents are in heaven as well, so I can share this. When a bill collector was calling, and it was supper time, and my parents wouldn't answer the phone, they had us kids answer the phone. And my dad looks at me at supper, he says, "Junior, I'm not here." And I picked up the phone, and it was the bill collector, and I handed my father the phone. And he looked at me, and I said, "I'm not going to lie for you. 1/90th of 1% would my father ever ask me to violate something of God's word." But it happened. Of course, we honor God first. And so we are Bible-believing, Bible-reading, Bible-meditating Christians. Invest in that loop. And then be the tree. Did you see what happens? For the person who, the blessed man, who doesn't think or behave or belong in those circles, who meditates, who who mulls it over, who is rehearsing scripture in the mind and thinking about those things, what happens to him, he will, or her, it's just the way scripture includes us all in the humankind, he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruits in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. That's the one picture of the human, being human, the one way, with the result of becoming a tree planted by living waters. Does that sound familiar? There was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of life in the garden, and there will be a tree in the consummation of the kingdom that yields its fruits every month. And here in the middle, in the between time, for those who know Jesus Christ, who love God, who are blessed, have the good life because they are followers of Jesus, they're like trees firmly planted whose leaves don't wither. And in everything he does, he prospers. How is that possible? How is it possible that everything that you and I do prospers? If we're in the text, if we're looking at this word picture of one way of being human, if we're that kind of tree, then everything is successful. Everything is prosperous. Whether or not it's humanly successful, if our bank accounts get bigger, if we get a healing, you know, the circumstances of our lives, in the providence of God, because we know who he is, because he directs us to a tree of life, to life, we prosper. That is a prosperous relationship. It's a prosperous way of living. It's a prosperous way of being. It doesn't diminish the difficulty at all in our lives. I know where I'm going, and I know who's going with me. Did you ever sing that little ditty when you were a kid? Be the tree. Meditate on God's word. Do not walk, stand, and sit with those individuals. But there is another way. There is an alternative. And it's the only other alternative there is. There's no middle ground. There's no three ways. It's either this way or the other way. Not so the wicked. They're like chaff. You and I know what that is because of where we live. It's the outside hull of a grain of wheat that gets knocked off, and the slightest breeze flicks it away. It has no weight to it. It has no bearing. It has no use. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand. The righteous are commanded not to stand. The wicked can't stand. And where can't they stand? In God's judgment. God is holy and righteous and just, and the wicked will not stand in the judgment. And they have no fellowship. What fellowship has light with darkness? They have no community. They cannot stand, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Why is that? Because the Lord knows. The Lord knows the way of each. And the word know there means particularly something wonderful for the righteous. Because the results are guaranteed. The tree firmly planted or the chaff? Because the Lord knows. And so the results that are guaranteed, we've already been talking about them. It's really not rocket science. It's really right there in black and white. The righteous, those who are declared righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ, who have come by grace through faith to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The righteous are blessed. We speak to one another about the goodness of God in our lives. The moment that God has revealed himself, if you were in adult Sunday school, we talked about that. We talked very specifically about Gideon and how when the Lord showed up, he worshiped him. It was an immediate response. Praise and worship. It's a good thing for us to share and to recognize the blessing of Almighty God in our lives, that we are his children who are blessed because of his presence, because of the work in our lives. If the only thing God promised us was a home in heaven between the moment we got saved and the moment we transitioned to that home, it would still all be worth it. But he's with us always, even to the end of the age. We are blessed. We go through difficult things. We pray deeply about them. We stand firm. But we, the righteous, are blessed. The righteous have been given a directive to life that involves thinking, behaving, and belonging. We are told in Scripture to bring every thought captive to the mind of Christ. God directs us to life in the way we think. He tells us how it is that we are to behave, how we are to walk, how we are to live, the righteous. We don't have to make it up. We don't have to discover it. He's given it to us, how it is that we can please him in everything that we do. We've talked about that. Have you ever run into a Christian who doesn't know the Lord's will for their lives, and they're about to make a decision in their lives, and it's the wrong one? And they say to you, the Lord just wants me to be happy. And so I'm going to go wallow around in this mud puddle for a little while. That doesn't compute, because that's not happiness. This blessedness, this is delight. Little Edmund in the Chronicles of Narnia was deceived into desiring Turkish delight, and he wanted just one more piece, and then the White Witch showed her true colors, because it wasn't true delight. Beloved, in here, in this book that God has given to us, is delights evermore, because in this book, he reveals to us who he is. As you read your Bible, behind every onion skin page, train yourself to see his face looking right back at you. These are his very words. And they bring great delight. Be the tree. Be firmly planted when the wind blows. Building it on the right foundation, that house will not fall. And that is true success. Not so the wicked. Not so the wicked. You can see the guaranteed results. Their life is going to be like chaff. Now, they might appear to have worldly wealth. They might appear to have success and fame and fortune, but they have their reward in full, because come judgment day, they will not be able to stand. The wind of God's judgment will blow, and they will be forever undone and ruined. And during that, They have no fellowship. They have no brotherhood, sisterhood. Nothing that they can stand on in certainty forever and ever. The Lord knows. The word knows there, I mentioned that. It means that He protects and guards. Not just that He's aware of, which is true, but that in that He protects and guards the way of the righteous. But not so the wicked. They perish. And their perishing isn't punishment only per se. It does involve that in the end. But rather, an A plus B equals C kind of result. God doesn't say, here, don't be wicked. Right message, wrong text. What He says is, if you're going to do that, I can promise you, you're not going to succeed. You will perish. You will be ruined. You will face doom. In seminary, we learned never to end on a bad note. I think my seminary professors might be a little bit desirous of something that Scripture bears out, and yet Psalm 1, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous. Amen. We can sing about that. But the way of the wicked will perish. How is it that we would sing about that? Would we be scoffing in the way we would sing about that? Would we be the exact opposite of the righteous that is on the outset of this? My brother and I used to do that a lot when there were people around that were sinning and they would, you know, kind of get in your face or whatever. Boy, it's going to be really hot for them someday. Bad attitude. We don't say that anymore. There's a deep pity for people who go through life as the way this text says. Their way will perish. But that does declare to us that God directs us towards life and that He is good, that He guards and protects the way of His children, and He's not unaware of the way of those who do not follow Christ. Praise His holy name, hallelujah. That's how we sing about that, because we sing about who He is and how He directs us towards life. Amen? Amen.